Welcome to the Grant Writing Seminar with your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore on WGCR.FM.
I'm Dr. Eurydice Moore, the grant writer of Safe Haven Community Skills Center, and your host for this half hour. We are here to serve the local, national, and international communities. You may send your kind contribution to Safe Haven Post Office Box 24117, Chicago, Illinois, 60624. You may contact me at 773-407-5372 or 773-426-0271. And you may even email me, Eurydice, E-U-R-Y-D-I-C-E, more@yahoo.com. You may even fax me at 773-638-5003. Your host for this half hour is National Human Services Accreditation. Are you seeking to be accredited? Do you need to be certified as a grant writer, case manager, nonprofit manager, or faith-based counselor? You may reach 773-407-6208 for additional information. Your sponsor, National Human Services Accreditation. This is part two of the proposal writing step by step. And the book that is being used for this half hour and for this three-part series is The Elements of Proposal Writing, and you may attain a copy by simply contacting me, Dr. Moore, at 773-407-5372. And now, if you also need a review, you did not tune in to the last show, then you can contact me at 773-407-5372 so that you can catch up and be with the rest of us. Now, this show, we're doing part two, and we're focusing in on what is known as need statement. Sometimes funders call it statement of need or need statement or problem. Now, you will have your next Roman numeral. I believe that's Roman numeral 4. And then next to it, you will put need statement or statement of need or simply problem. Now, I have been writing grants for over 20 years, and I have been to many workshops. And in my graduate study, we were required to take a grant writing course. And it has been very interesting, and I have learned a lot, and I'm sharing information with you that I hope will make the process easier. But during my studies, I have found out there's two types of grants. But the grants have many formats. There's what you know as the standard proposal and what I call the guideline proposal. The standard proposal is when someone tells you or you're reading through a funding directory and it simply states, send a proposal. It don't say ask for the guideline or application or issue a letter, send a letter. It just state send a proposal. Or you might meet someone, you know, doing an event that's a funder or know of a funder, and they say, well, just send me a proposal. Just send a proposal. I just love when they do that. So when you ever get a situation like that, just send them this, what you're covering during this series. Now, the guideline proposal, this is when you're reading through your funding directory or directories, because there's many, many books out there, and you notice that the funders are stating contact the office with a letter requesting an application, or contact the office requesting an application and guideline. Now, many times they will send you an application and it's one page, front and back. And all you do is fill it in and send it out with the additional information that they might ask. There may be some attachment, like a copy of your article incorporation 501c3 board list. Okay, now you might run on a part where it says, send for guidelines. So when you have to request a guideline, it's usually a pamphlet or a brochure that will give you information about the funder, the funder's history, how long they've been around, their mission, their purpose, the types of programs that they're interested in. And they will tell you step by step how they want the proposal, what kind of paper to use, what font size, what ink to use, what color paper. I have seen cases where funders said, do not send neon paper, neon color paper. Do not send onion skin paper. They will tell you how they want the proposal to look, the total number of pages that your proposal could be, and then they will also tell you how many pages each section of the proposal can be, the maximum amount of pages. Like your history can only be so many pages, your project or your program outline or description can be only so many pages, so on and so forth. They will even tell you how to package the proposal, whether it should be bound, whether it should be clipped, whether it should be staple. Whatever they ask for, simply give the people what they ask for. No more and no less. Okay, now we're going to get back into our teaching. We left off at need statement. Now, under the need statement, you are going to keep in mind the needs of the community, not the organization. Yes, you need a new boiler. Yes, there's a problem with your plumbing. Yes, you need an electrician. Yes, your organization have needs. But you're not-for-profit, and your goal is to serve. And your mindset, your focus is the community. You have to write in terms of what the community needs. You meet the community needs, your needs will be met. Just as simple as that, cut and dry. So, you must describe the problems or issues that is going on in the community. Now, I'm going to give you an example of Chicago. And Chicago is divided into communities. You have Englewood, Roseland, Bronzeville, Near West. We're just all over the place. Now, in your writing, communities have unique problem, different problem. One community may have a gang problem, which is very prevalent. Another community, their issue, their main problem may be that black women are contracting HIV and AIDS at a rapid rate. Okay, another problem at another community may be a substance abuser. Another problem at another community could be domestic violence. You must describe the community that you're serving, their problems or their issues. I try to encourage people that's getting their feet wet, that just starting in grant writing, to try to focus on one or two problems. And, you know, then later on in future proposal, you can address others. But identify the problems that are prevalent. And you write with the community in mind. Now, after you identify the problems, then you must back up your findings with evidence known as statistic or data or statistical data. You will see these terms in proposals. Now, you might say, well, where do I go to get statistics? Where do I go to get evidence? You can go to www.fedstats, or you could look at your U.S. Censor. Now, these will give you very valuable information, letting you know the number of people that live in a community, the housing situation, how many people are homeowners, how many are renters, how many have completed a high school education, how many have bachelor's, associate, graduate, doctoral. They will also give you economic information on a community, the medium income of the community. You get so much valuable information from that. The police headquarters, when you're writing a grant, can give you information, crime information. They can let you know the type of crimes that's being committed in a community. Homicide, suicide, theft, burglary, aggravated assault, assault and battery, auto theft, breaking and entry, and so on and so forth. And not only can they tell you the problem, the crime problem in the community, but they can tell you who's doing it. They could tell you according to race. They could tell you the age group, how many adults are doing what particular problem, crime, how juveniles, what they're doing. They could look at the age, the race, the sex, male, female, how many females are doing this and how many males are doing burglary, so on and so forth. So statistics are there for you to back up what you have identified as problems or issue within the community. Educational resources, just books, textbooks, journals, the information highway, the internet, key in the problem, see what comes up, city department. For every problem that is out here in the city or your township, there should be some municipal that has a department to address that issue or problem. Watchdog group. You can get statistics from watchdog group. There's always some champions out there fighting social ills, social injustices. So you can contact the watchdog group, and they have their own statistics. Or your organization can conduct what is known as focus group, where a group of you just go out into the neighborhood, pass out flyers, make sure you have some refreshment. It's something about food. Food draw people. All right. And you sit and you have like a community meeting and you have a recorder there. And you ask them, okay, what's happening? What's going on? And they begin to spill their guts, and you write it, you make a note of it. And then also ask, what do you think needs to happen to solve this problem? Or what's needed to resolve this? And write that down too. Now also, you could use a leading expert in the field to solve a problem. One while back in during a primary, when we had there was a big question about who was going to sit on a Cook County board as president. Remember that primary? And I mean, it was a hot race. We didn't find out until about the next day. It was very interesting. So I'd say about 10:15, 10:20, the news was getting ready to go off, and they had a leading expert. I believe he was a professor from University of Illinois or University of Chicago, one of those top leading university in the city of Chicago. And the anchor person asked them, according to your expert opinion, according to your educational background, your experience in politics, and according to trends and fashion, when we wake up tomorrow, who more than likely would have won the primary to be president of the Cook County Board? Okay, you can quote a leading expert in whatever problem or issue that you have identified for the community. Okay, program outline. Okay, that would be Roman numeral 5, and next to the Roman numeral 5, you will key in program outline, or you just want to just leave program or program description. You will find out that words are used interchangeably, you know, and as you deal with the guideline proposal funders, you will notice that they may use a different term. A lot of funders use different terms, but as long as they're similar and they're key, you can make it in proposal writing and recognizing them and being successful. Okay, Now we're talking about program outline. Now, under your program outline, you have to just, you could do an overview, especially if you're requesting funding for general operation support. In the overview, you begin to describe, and I know you did it. I know you did it in the introduction, but that's okay. In the history, I'm sorry. Do it again. Okay, but here you have space to give more detail, to get specific, to get down to the nitty-gritty. Okay, now in this section, what you would do is give an overview of the programs. I know you mentioned them already. And you get to elaborate and you get to share. And you were kind of cramped up in that little paragraph, but you get the flow and go here. So give an overview of your program and who is serving, all of that. And then after you do your overview, now you're getting to why you're writing them, okay? You may have a new program that you want to introduce to the community, okay? So in mentioning what you have done already, you are reminding them, even though you mention it in under history, you are reminding them of your track record and your experience. So then flow and begin to describe the program that you want funded, okay? And then under this, you get under the who, what, when, where, and how of the program. Okay, you're going into the reason why you're writing and seeking funding. Describe the who, what, when, where, how, and why of what you're trying to get funded. Now, the what is the name of the program. Now, you've been listening to WGCR.FM, where what the world is looking for, the Grant Writing Seminar, your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore.
The First Amendment reads, "The people shall not be deprived or abridged of their right to speak."
The odds are the person you just heard is an African American.
Because African Americans are twice as likely to suffer a stroke as white Americans.
That's twice as likely a stroke could rob you of the freedom to speak your mind.
The freedom to shout from mountaintops.
The freedom to tell your mother you love her.
And it's twice as likely a stroke could take your life.
Therefore, it's twice as crucial for us to do something about preventing a stroke.
Learn how you can help beat the odds.
Start by calling 1-888-4-STROKE. Or go online to strokeassociation.org.
Join the power to end stroke.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a bully at school.
Where'd you get the shirt? Colorblind and things?
And this is the sound of a kid telling her parents about the bully. If you don't hear about it from your kid, that doesn't mean it's not happening.
McGruff the Crime Dog here about how parents can tell if bullying is upsetting their children. Kids may avoid school. Grades may suffer. Stop bullies with words to your kids, school officials, or other concerned parents, and at McGruff.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Play ball!
Now pitching, Dave Black.
Dave is about to catch his opponent off guard. Not with his nasty fastball. No, instead of a fastball, Dave will be hurling a tomato.
And the pitch.
Ooh. Using tomatoes as baseballs won't go over well with anyone. But if you're looking to hit the ball further and throw better, eating a healthy diet that includes fruits and vegetables is a home run. Packed with nutrients, they could help keep your body healthy and strong, giving you the energy you need to hit that grand slam. When you look at it this way, eating tomatoes is playing hardball against the competition. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
That's smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I love WGCR.FM.
Welcome back to the Grant Writing Seminar, your host for this half hour, Dr. Eurydice Moore, and we are learning part two, how to write a proposal. This is a three-part series, and I want to welcome you back and commend you on sticking this out. Now, the three-part series is covering an overview. This is strictly an overview. If you are interested in purchasing the book, which give more detail, the book is The Elements of Proposal Writing, and you may contact me, Dr. Eurydice Moore, at 773-407-5372. 773-407-5372. Once again, The Elements of Proposal Writing. Now, we're going to pick up where we left off. We are on Roman numeral 5, program outline, or if you wish to use program description. And we're talking about, we already talked about you giving a history of your organization, once again talking about the services and getting into the reason you are writing them and beginning to describe the program, project, or service that you want to fund. And I mentioned that it's important for you to get into, in your program description, to get into your who, what, when, where, why, how. Okay? Now, flow into the what. Give the name of the program that you want funded. Then, it could be the ABC after school program. Then you give the who. Who is this program for? Well, the ABC after school program is for children and youth. Then you have to do the flip side of the coin, and you have to describe who is implementing and working this program. Okay, if you have a project director, you begin to write about the project director and the project director role in this program, community outreach workers, case managers, whoever is doing this program, you have to show their role. Cover both your who's, who the program is for and who is providing the service or the program. Then you want to get into your where. Where will this program, service, or project take place? The where is the location. Will it be on site of your organization? I have many clients, well, not many, a few of them pertaining to this, that have not-for-profit, but they don't have a location and they're operating out of their house. And that's okay, because you can designate a section of your living quarter as a home-based office, like a living room, or if you have a spare bedroom, or you have the basement, you have a section of the basement, but it's not big enough to host an activity, especially with children and youth. And I tell them that there are places that will donate you space or either provide you with space at a nominal fee, especially if you have that 501c3. Now, if you're not in a position to host programs or activities or services on your site, how about asking the local church that's located around your organization? Okay, talk to the pastor. How about the library? The library have rooms, and they are free. You can use them. They're free to non-for-profit. You just simply fill out an application, give the purpose of it, what you're going to be doing, how many tables and chairs you need so they can know what size room to put you in. Give them a copy of your 501c3, and voila, the room is free. And many of the libraries have auditorium if you want to do an event there. And you can use the auditorium for free as a non-for-profit. What about the park district? Some of them will donate space free because you got the 501c3, or they will charge you a very small fee. It depends on the park district. So you have to describe where your activities are going to take place, also known as your site. Then you have to get into the days and hours of operation. When is this program? Whatever program you do, a food distribution or a women's support group or counseling or mentoring or a tutorial program or a homework program, whatever program, project, or service that you're going to do, you have to let the funder know if it's going to be all day or it's going to be a half a day. Okay, is the program from 8 to 4 or is it from 8 to 12? Is the program in the afternoon or in the evening or late evening? Is the program just for the weekdays, Monday through Friday, or is it weekends only? How often is the program? Is it once a week, 2 days out the week, 3 days out the week? Is the program seasonal? You only do this program during the holidays or a particular time of the year, or it's a once a year thing. You have to let them know when the program is. Now, also you have to give, why are you doing this program? You're doing the program to meet a need. So you begin to explain the need. Okay, why this program has been designed, developed, and what need do you hope that it would meet? In addition, what do you hope to accomplish, or what do you hope to be the end result of this program? Then your how is like storytelling. You're going to describe it from your program from start to finish, and you should have a narrative flow like a storyteller. And you're going to wrap up explaining how your program, service, or project is going to benefit your target population, also known as the kinds of people that you take care of, the people, the community resident, the members of the community that you have designed the program, service, or project to benefit. Then there's another part of the proposal, and this is, you really want to pay strict attention to this with the guideline. If you are going to send just a standard proposal, you don't have to include this. You can skip this and go on to objective and goals and objective. That's what you can do. But if you're addressing the guideline people, they are going to ask for this. They will want to know what is known as, what is your methodology? What method you're going to use to do this, to do what it is you're going to do? Another word for activities, okay? They will want to see it in a chart or a diagram form or a flow chart. So I recommend that you set up three columns. Column number one, you had it tasks. Column number two, personnel. Column number three, deadline. Now, under task, you will list everything and everybody. Well, we should reverse that because you need the people before you can get into the thing. Everybody and everything that you need in order to do the program. You make a list. Recruit personnel, recruit volunteers, provide orientation for staff, find location, purchase equipment, supply, so on, so forth. You continue until the day that the door is open for the program. Personnel, column number two. You are going to list the person that is responsible to seeing that those tasks are performed. Project director, outreach worker, so on and so forth. Then the deadline, when it needs to be completed. And I want to thank you for tuning in for part two of How to Write a Proposal on the Grant Writing Seminar. Your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore. God bless. Godspeed.